Welcome to the Social Connection Podcast. Each week, you'll hear actionable tips on social media marketing, interviews with entrepreneurs, and business tips. My name is Atish Palmer from Metric Connect Digital Marketing. Thank you for your time with me today, and enjoy the next podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Social Connection Podcast. Today, I have a social media marketing expert from the same location as me. It's Anita Popat. I've wanted to bring Anita on. We've had a discussion about doing a collaboration together, and I'm happy to say this is her first time being a guest on a podcast, and very happy that we're a part of it. So hello, Anita Popat, and let our listeners know what you're all about. And what we want to bring to the table is some tips for business owners about marketing and social media marketing. So hi, Anita.
Hi, everyone. First, thank you, Atish, for inviting me onto your podcast. I'm really excited to be, it's my first one, so I'm really excited that it's yours. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. Yes, so I'm Anita, and I am a social media trainer / manager based in Leicester, as Atish said. I've been using social media for a long, long time, mainly on a personal level to build a load of businesses that were sort of side hustles alongside my day job. And then I recently left the day job as a marketing manager where I was for 13 years to go alone. So I've kind of got both sides of the scale. So I understand the B2B side and all of the sort of pressures and marketing needs that go along in the business.
What made you want to take the transition into having your own business? Why did you leave after 13 years?
You know, when you're just waiting for that perfect moment, and you're waiting for the stars to align and it never comes. There came a point where it was just like, right, it was now or never. Like, I was at the perfect stage of my life in terms of sort of financial stability. At home, everything was sort of all okay. Husband wasn't allowed to leave the job. So I was like, right, it's now or never kind of thing. So yeah. It's something that I have been wanting to do for literally years and years. And I think I was just in the right state of mind as well to do it and just take the leap. So I literally took the leap with no plan of action in mind. I was supposed to
just actually doing it.
I literally just left and I thought, right, whatever happens, happens. I've always been a big believer in everything happens for a reason, and if it's meant to be, it will be. So I just thought, right, this is my time to do it. If I don't, and I'm not one to sort of jump. I'm like, 13 years is a long time. I'm not one to jump, take like rash decisions. So for me to do that was very out of character anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's paid off.
Yeah, definitely. As everyone.
So how long have you? We started at the same time. Well, near enough, because I remember we got in touch and then we met up, and it was a brilliant. I think we were talking for an hour just about the new businesses, what we're doing, how many similarities the businesses, both of our businesses, have, and the journey that we're going through.
Yeah.
So it's been just over a year now, or 18 months. Yeah. So how are you finding it now from taking that big jump?
You know, like I said before, I wish I did it sooner. It's just been amazing. I mean, obviously, when you're starting out, it's a bit scary, but I was very lucky because I built up a big network from my day job, because I did a lot of networking and I did marketing and stuff. So the Leicester community particularly knew who I was. So I was very lucky in sort of getting introductions and referrals sort of pretty much straight away. And then there was people like yourself and other people in the industry who are like, everyone's really more than willing to help and give you their time. People might think because you're in the same industry, you're going to be like clashing, but it's actually the opposite. I think people actually want to help each other and, you know, see each other go forward together.
So, I think if you have that same mentality, stroke mindset, I think people, businesses progress faster and further if you're actually joining together. Because even when the initial, and it's people do have different aspects of it, because you may have somebody that's I've had it in the past where we've kind of said, do you want to do a collaboration or let's see how it works, and we've just got a no. But I just feel that if you're working towards it, there's so much business out there, you're not gonna there's not a shortage of money where this is the only amount you've got and there's nothing left. So yeah, this is why we're doing this, right? We're
both definitely.
But we've got differences in terms of clientele and stuff. So I'm a firm believer in that. So what types of services are you offering to business and business owners for as Anita Popat then?
So I do, I've focused on social media because that's the sort of area of marketing that I really enjoy. So I do training and I do nurture packages, which is basically sort of the training with the additional accountability added onto it. Because I found people did the training sessions but didn't actually put the stuff into place. They needed a bit more help. Yeah. So then I have packages that cover that. And then I do management. So I take over the accounts and manage all the day-to-day running for businesses.
Okay, brilliant. Now, what we wanted to give you, the listener, is our insight within about 20 minutes. So we wanted to keep this podcast quite not longer than 30 minutes, but we wanted someone to listen to this for at least 20 minutes and find some golden nuggets that we're going to be giving. And we're keeping it organic. So the conversation that me and Anita had just before we started recording this podcast is, let's see how it goes, but we're going to give our, we're going to freestyle it, but hopefully you're going to get some tips to use for your business and hopefully implementing it. And then if we can help in any other way, we're going to give our socials at the end. So Anita, what's your take or what's your first thing that comes to your mind to say, why don't everybody just do this particular thing to help revenue, profit margins, but a small thing which should be a drop into the business ocean that they should be implementing?
The first thing, and I know everyone probably says this thing, is making sure you know who exactly it is that you're speaking to. Like so many people, like so your ideal client or persona, whoever, people.
Target audience.
How people want to say it. Because there's so many people, businesses say that, my product, anyone can buy my product. That's fair enough. Yeah. But when it comes to marketing, and if you want to make it really, really easy for yourself, it's really helpful to have a picture of the exact person that you want to speak to. Give them a name or whatever you want to do. But it really helps to when you're crafting your social media messages, your emails, whatever it is in terms of marketing, it really helps when you've got that person in mind and you know exactly what their pain points are, what kind of problems they might be facing, what they're struggling with, and you can craft your messages that's going to speak to them rather than everyone. So when you're trying to speak to everyone, like they say, you're speaking to no one, because your message is going to be so wide, it's not going to resonate with the people that you actually want to do business with. And in people think that you're narrowing your customer base down, but in actual fact, you're not. You're going to attract the right people that you want to do business with by doing that. That's my number one.
And my take on it is, if you focus on a target audience, a niche, then it's going to be easier for you as the business to take on the second and third client just because you've done it for number one. And what I've seen is, competitors want to know about how are they doing, how are they doing it, and you're the person behind it. So I've done that the niche side of things, and it does mean that some people are not going to be following your message because they're not fitted within that audience.
That's
not a problem.
Because they're not the people that you want to. Some people think that, oh my God, they need to appeal to everyone. And like, oh my God, what if this person? But as long as you appeal to the people that you want to appeal to, it's fine. I mean, when you're starting out, you might not know who you want to work with, and that's fine as well. So when I started out, I had a bit of an idea of who my ideal client was. But until I actually started doing the work, I wasn't sure if I would actually, you don't know until you actually start doing the doing whether you actually want to work with that sector or not.
Yeah, because you might have kind of positioned yourself as, I want to do just florist or something. I'm just picking at the top of it. And then you did it and it was boring.
Yeah.
Or you can't find the creatives behind it. So yeah, you move on to the next.
Yeah. So that's another thing. It's okay to change. Like people think that you have to stay, you've got an idea and you have to stay stuck to that. It's fine. It's okay to change if you don't like something that you're doing or if something's not working. Just test the whole thing. Another thing about marketing is it's all about testing and measuring. So it's all about looking at your data having a look to see what's working and what's not, and doing more of what's working and less of what's not. Because there's
okay,
no point
so
in...
let's use that as the second yeah. Number two from your tips. Now, what do you use on scalable measuring, on analytics? Maybe not just social media, but how are you doing it and how are you promoting it to your clients? And what are you saying to them that they need to implement to reporting and analytics?
So I use Google Analytics as an overall measurement, as an overall analytics platform, just to see how everything's going on overall. Because you can see on analytics, you can have a look at your website, stats, your social media. There's an overview of the kind of people that are coming to your site, what kind of stuff they're searching for, what pages they're on, and blah, blah, blah. So it gives you a massive overview of, if I'm focusing on social, I can see what social media platforms are sending.
What referrals to Google and Analytics, yeah. I mean, and my kind of, and if you really want to draw it down to social media as well, a prime example of it is Instagram Insights.
Yeah.
So if you want to see what kind of content's working for you guys, for your business, I had a message today about somebody telling me, why have you picked this location on this tag? And I've kind of said, you need to give us 4 weeks for us to see what we've just promoted on a 30-day basis. And then we want to go onto the insights and find out what the best content is, how many engagement, how much reach you're getting, to then go to month two and do that, but then excel on that type of content. But if you're not measuring, you're saying it's not going to happen, is it?
No. So that's all marketing is, basically. You put a sort of campaign together with a few whatever elements it is, like it could be the picture, image, headline, whatever. You can test it against some variations, test it for a bit, and then see what's working, and then tweak. But there's no point in just putting stuff out there for the sake of putting stuff out there if you're not going to look at your analytics, because there could be one little tweak that you could make that would make your reach soar, or, you know, that you could do something that will make you go viral or whatever. But if you're not checking to see what your analytics are doing, you're not going to know that.
No, the social media, we're always drawing everything back to the website. And it works backward, isn't it? So if you've got Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and you're sending your links from those posts going back to your website, Google Analytics will pick up what's actually doing, what's actually engaging traffic. And then like this podcast, we can go onto our analytics and find out who's watching what minute. And then I know what to kind of, my thing is guests. So when I'm bringing guests on, maybe I'm just a bit boring, but when I'm bringing guests on, you get the natural element of you're going to be sharing it. The guest and host are going to be exposing the podcast. But people are so engaged because the minutes you can actually check the stats on when are people engaging or when are they dropping off. So I know what types of topics to kind of discuss so that we're keeping my audience currently engaged. So yeah. That's
exactly it. Because if you were talking about stuff that people weren't interested in, then you wouldn't get all the audience that you want. So
brilliant. So we've covered target audience and we've covered analytics. What's your number three?
This isn't a weird one, but strategy is a strategy. Loads of people will not have they don't tend to have a plan in place for social media in particular. So it needs to be part of an overall marketing plan, and I'm very, very passionate about this because it's not. It needs to fit in. If social media is not its own thing, it needs to fit in with the whole marketing strategy. So I always say to the clients, what is the ultimate goal for social media or any marketing in general? Is it brand awareness? Do you want to sell, I don't know, tickets to an event? Do you want to get more downloads of a lead magnet? Whatever it is. You need to know that first, because all of your marketing activity needs to then sort of be tailored to reach that end goal. So another important
thing. There's no point doing one thing and then you're actually missing a massive gap.
Yeah, because your marketing, there's no point in saying, right, I want this many signups to this event this month, by the end of the month. But then your social media activity or whatever activity doesn't mention the event. There's no countdown to the event. There's no lead up. There's no strategy involved in getting people to actually do the thing. So you almost work backwards from the goal to planning the post to get towards the end goal. But if you don't have
reverse
the goals
engineering,
to start,
I love that.
Yeah, if you don't have the goals to start with, which most people don't, because they'll just post willy nilly, or just they'll just think, oh, I shouldn't be posting this because that person's doing that, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, and I always say a reactive post, what your competitors are doing, and then you quickly go on Canva or wherever it is and post something. And then it goes back to analytics, because if you actually plan, look at the stats from what you've planned, I'm sure the analytics were going to be much better than when you've just kind of, yeah, took reactive posts.
Yeah, because when you plan, you're gonna put more thought into the post.
Yeah.
You're gonna have spent a bit of time. You're gonna have spent a bit of time on the image, right, getting the right images and writing the captions and stuff. It all adds to the. But then saying that, sometimes the ad hoc posts do better than the planned one. You just never know at what stage.
Yeah, but then yeah, it goes back to what's going to be. I mean, to be fair, when you're, I normally, the way I see it is, when you're doing planned content, then the story side of things, if they're more organic, natural, yeah, you're going to see more engagement that way. So yeah, I do understand what you're. To be fair, when you've got the first 9 Instagram feed going, and if you just completely change it, it causes the algorithms to kind of react to saying, what's going on here? But it can work in your favor and it can work negative. But the only way to find out is to actually do it.
Well, that takes us nicely onto the next tip, which is consistency.
Go on then. Yeah, brilliant. Okay.
Because again, the algorithms like consistency. So if they know that, now consistency doesn't have to mean every day. I think loads of people think they have to post every day to be successful, especially on social. But in my opinion, you don't. As long as you have a rhythm that's consistent to you, whatever you can afford to do, or that you can plan in, then that's good, because then the algorithms know that there's going to be a sort of new content being fed in every so often, and that works in your favor.
And your audience is quite used to, maybe you're doing 4 or 5 posts a week and then you're always on stories or vice versa. But when you don't want to become annoying as well, don't you?
No,
when you're doing too much.
This is why, again, it goes back to your audience avatar, because if you're always serving posts and stuff that people like or enjoy or find valuable, then you're never going to be annoying. Like, I get loads of people coming up to me saying, your content is amazing. Like, I learned some. I've had people print off like some of my stuff and they're like, look, I've got it. And it's amazing. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
brilliant.
But stuff like this, like, they might not like or comment on your stuff, but they're still consuming it and they're still doing something with it. So it's still valuable. But again, you're gonna see that in your stats. So it goes back to the stats again.
It goes back to the stats. It goes back to your strategy. And then it's quite the consistent side of things. Where you don't want to go is kind of jumping off a cliff and going completely, like, you know, okay, I've been busy at work. And what we kind of find is, okay, we know what we want to post, but we just don't find the time for it. And I think if we come towards, right, what we're doing, what services we're providing, is the initial steps, kind of, I think both of us do this, is this is what you need to be doing, and then do it. And then what they find out is, wow, this is a lot of time, and there's a lot of time being spent, and you can't just think you're creative, because there are different methods of actual putting on your marketing hat on rather than the business owner. They're completely different. And then I just feel that if more people are taking advice from marketers like yourself, they would excel. And it all depends on budgets and finding out what's going on. But social media is so important right now. It's like paying your council tax for your offices. You've got to pay it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not on social media nowadays, I don't think people take you seriously as a business. I mean, over a website, I think social media is the place people will go to check you out. Because I always say, if you're not active on social, then people might just go on to the next competitor, because nowadays it's kind of a given that you should really be on there. And you can always plan and schedule your content. You don't have to be doing it real time all the time.
What I say to people is, if you think your business is at a level where you can spend at least a day a week to plan the content, something like Facebook Creator Studio is free. It works on Facebook and Instagram, which is what most people are kind of promoting on, although LinkedIn is kind of amazing at the minute with the organic reach, that could cover the, I mean, like, not go massive on your marketing budgets, but doing it yourselves and learning how the process works. Because then when marketers like ourselves jump in, they actually appreciate what we're doing just because they understand the level of work and commitment that needs to be done for social media.
I think when things are going well in business, the marketing stuff always goes to the bottom of the to-do list because things are just ticking. So they'll just be like, okay, leads are coming in, so I don't need to do it. But as soon as you stop being visible, the whole point of the marketing and the consistency thing is that you're there, you're showing up, you're drip feed every so often, so that when someone needs what you offer, or they might, or someone asks for what you offer, you're there top of mind because they've just seen a post from you or whatever. Obviously, if you keep going up and down and like, oh, one week you're really active because you've got time, and then the next week you're really busy, so you're dropping off and you're not consistent, you're going to keep popping in, popping up, but you're not going to win over the person who's literally been there day in, day out, posting valuable stuff and help them out and that kind of stuff. So that's the level that you should be at, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And finally, what's your final take on giving your last tip to our listeners?
My most important thing is to just be yourself. Don't compare yourself to everyone else on social media. And when you're first starting out, especially when you're new, you're gonna look at what everyone else in the industry is doing, which is fine. But then what happens is the comparisonized just kicks in. But you've got to think everyone's I just about said that word. everyone's different and everyone's going to have a different style of delivering stuff. So take us two, for example. We're very similar, but we're quite different in our approach to stuff.
Yeah.
So I try and go on trying to promote businesses that's in a way that's authentic to them. So I try and get the business owners involved, because people like to see the people behind the business. There's loads of people who do social media, but there's going to be people who are going to be more drawn to what you guys do and what your personality is like. There might be other people drawn to me and my style of like teaching and posts and stuff. So it swings and roundabouts. But you're not going to know or attract your tribe until you actually show who you are and what you're doing and what you're about. So I think the personal element of it is quite an important thing to differentiate yourself from your competitors, because at the end of the day, that's the thing that is going to be truly different.
So when you're saying is when they're actually comparing your competition to yourself, if you've got that small element of promoting your own self, I've had a conversation with a few clients to say, put your face on Instagram stories, just because if your relevance score, which can be 2, 3 to 5 different things, and you've got some KPIs in there, that, okay, oh yeah, I can relate to that. I trust them because the way they're talking and the transparency of that person should be incognito with the business. And you're right, someone might see me as a very different to you, but they might prefer the way you deliver the message, and that can go towards you. So I'm so massive on the brand, the person behind the brand always works, and people can make their own judgment on it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, no one's saying anything no one's saying anything new. Everyone's inspired by something, or like in our industry, we might have a stat, and every single marketer might share the same stat, but we're all going to share it in our own way, which is what makes us different. And your definitely. Way, you know, we're all going to resonate with people in different ways. So yeah, get your face out there.
Brilliant. Right. So we've covered a target audience, analytics, strategies, being consistent, and what you feel is the most important thing is being yourself. And if you could see the list, I know you might be able to, but there's three things in there which I was going to cover. So that just makes it easier for me. Anita, I want to I always ask this question to anyone who comes on as a guest. What's your 5-year take, and what's your 5-year plan in business and personally?
Right. Okay. in business, well, I finally figured out what services I'm offering now after like 1.5 years. So yeah, in business, I think it's trying to make the business sustainable so it can work without me. So I'm hoping to launch some sort of, I don't know, online training or something like that, that people can buy and learn from without me having to be there, or some sort of, something like that. I don't know yet, but that's the plan.
And what do you think personally?
Personally, I want to make sure I'm sort of earning a comfortable amount to be able to live a life where I'm like not constantly thinking, oh, what's in the bank, and just work flexibly around what, just do what I want to do. But I don't think I could ever stop working, but be able to work on my own terms and do, which I kind of can do right now anyway. But not as much, obviously, because I'm still building. But the ultimate aim is to have the business running nicely so I can just dip in and out, and then have a nice income from it.
That's the goal for
like everyone else.
a lot of us. But no, that it's so hard to get there, and there's so much hard work to get to that level. I want to thank you very much for coming on, and I'm so happy that I'll be the first guest. First time you've been on a podcast. Anita, could you give my listeners all your socials and where they can find you?
Yeah, so I am Anita Pop at social media. You can find all the details on my website, which is www.anitapopat.com. From there, you can find all my Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and you can even sign up to my monthly newsletter, which has loads of sort of tips and the latest social media news updates on there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say thank you once again. And for anyone listening that has not experienced the Social Connection podcast, we are a podcast where we bring business, social media marketing and entrepreneurship under one podcast. And the ideal guest, Anita Popper, has joined us. And I hope everyone has got some key facts on what to implement on your business. If not, we're both here to help. Thank you very much, Anita, and speak to you soon.